Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for today, for granting us the privilege to be called your sons, to be called to be sons of God, to be given the opportunity to be made one with you, to drink of your spirit, to drink of your grace and of your love, to come under the shadow of your person, of your love and of your light. We thank you because you have commanded blessings in Zion. For there you commanded the blessing, even upon the mountains of Zion. We thank you that in Zion there is oil, there is wine, there is bread, there is singing and dancing and rejoicing for the goodness of the Lord. For what you have done and what you are doing and what you are set to do in our lives, in our midst, in our generation. Like the songwriter says, it's just begun to rain again in our generation. Hallelujah. We turn our eyes to you. We look to you today. As the maidens look upon their mistress, so our eyes are turned unto you. Unto you that hear a prayer, shall all flesh come. Flesh, praise waiting for you in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We'll come to you as flesh. We'll bring the raw humanity of our soul, of our spirit, of our body unto you. We bring the whole realm of our experience, of our being, of what we are, of what we wear, and what you are calling us to be. We bring it all in you. And we say, all our springs are in thee, O God. Your habitation, you have made to be our habitation, is in the holy mountains. We ask, O God, that the rivers will flow unto us from these holy mountains, clear waters. Let it flow. Let it bring life. Let it bring satisfaction. Let it bring cleansing. Let it bring strength. Let it bring a quickening. Let it be a raising up. Let there be resurrection today. Let that which is dead be made alive. Let that which is weak be made whole. Lord, open blind eyes. Open ears that have been stuffed. Circumcise hearts, O God. Heal relationship. Heal hearts, O God. By God. Minister, O God. Minister, O God. They meet every need in Zion. Let the needs be met, O God. That they will be singing and dancing on our streets. Blessed be your name, O Lord. For when the Lord turned back the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. So our hearts will be filled with laughter. And our hearts with singing. Then they shall say among the nations that the Lord has done great things for us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the great things. For the Lord our God in our midst is mighty. He's mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to redeem, mighty to restore. My God, mighty to break the chains, my God. We bless your name. We glorify your name, O God. We glorify your holy name. Yahweh be magnified. We call you Yahweh. Yahweh, the all-sufficient God. He who has been before the beginning and shall be after the end. He who has no time that inhabits the whole of eternity. What a great God. Jehovah, we praise you. We bless your name. We bless your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heavens. And the earth is your footstool. We pray that every earth today will be your footstool. Let our earth be brought under your footstool. Brought under your control and rule. We glorify your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are set to close up today. We've been talking about oil since Friday, and we've been trying to build up to today. It will be impossible to finish, but we will see what will be done, because man has his own plans, God has his own plans. Amen. So we submit our program to the Spirit of God. He knows the heart, he knows the needs. We believe in the prophetic word. Amen. Because we believe there is every word for, it's a ripe word for every situation. We've been talking about, yesterday we ended with Passover. Passover, it's the moving out, the coming out of Egypt, from Egypt, of the people of God. I want to say of the peoples of God. And today we are going to talking about Passover. And we will touch briefly on Pentecost and briefly on Tabernacles. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 16:16. I like the 16:16. Amen. It's not easy to remember. It says three times in a year. Well, it was a year for Israel, but for me and you, it is in our lifetime. In the lifetime of every believer, three times or three steps are appointed. Three experiences or three entrances of the soul into Christ. God dwells in the heaven. The earth is his throne, is his footstool, as we have heard. there is heaven in us, so it is right for God to dwell in that heaven, not just in that heaven, but to manifest his glory upon the earth through us. So we were talking about oil, and you know oil is important at midnight. That's when the bride needs the oil, you know, at midnight. And the oil must be where we need it. You know, the scripture uses different terms, different terms. It's a book written in symbols. You have to read it, and it has to open. And it opens by revelation. The more you stay on it, the more it begins to break up. The letter kills. The letter of the word kills. But the Spirit brings life. Life. Hallelujah. You know? So we are believing God for life today through the breaking open of the scriptures. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, say three times. If you recall Acts chapter 2, it was 50 days after the Passover. Jesus was crucified on Passover day. This Passover was special because it also coincided with the day of Jubilee. Was a year of Jubilee. Okay, so they call it a high day. So it was two Passovers together. The Passover every the normal Passover every the Sabbath. Sorry, there was a Sabbath. That's every week. But according to the feast, it also happened on that Passover day. And then also according to the calendar, it was also the year of Jubilee. So many things, a lot of things were happening at that time. And you know, at Jubilee is a time of freedom, of restoration. Everybody responds back to his inheritance in God. In fact, the Bible says the land shall not be sold forever. So if you sold their land, you know that in 50 years time is coming back. Amen. So it was a high time. It was a lot of excitement. And according to how it is celebrated, when the Passover takes place, 50 days from that time is the feast of Pentecost. So Pente means, the Greek word means 50. You know, so much of those who came to celebrate Passover means everybody, wherever you are, all over the world, they will come back again to Jerusalem, because the Bible says, wherever you are, you must come back. So that was a natural experience. And as we said yesterday, every word of God comes in layers, in three levels: the natural, the spiritual, and then the fullness of the Spirit. So we are talking about the natural celebration. The natural helps us understand the spiritual. So in the natural experience, they all came back. So many of them were still around. And then after 50 days was the experience of Pentecost. So that morning, there were a lot of people, as you said, Parthians, people from different parts, they were all came. And then there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was a spiritual experience. That wasn't the normal way of experiencing it. When they will come, they will celebrate it according to what we find in Exodus and other places. But on this particular day, when they came, while they were doing things somewhere, some of that brethren were in the upper room, and as they were praying, the Bible says that suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, the whole room was filled, and then we know what happened. There was fire all over them. The place was charged up. They began to speak in tongues, and then it spilled over the whole of Jerusalem. And from there, the whole church dispersed. So we know that that is the, you know, that's what happened at that time, and that brought a new experience in the world. Someone called Martin Luther, I'm sure you know him, a few years ago, around the 16th century, 1570 something, also came around. And they said the church was dead, locked up. They called it the Dark Ages. Martin Luther came around and began to talk about the just shall live by faith. So that brought a new awakening, a new revival. That gave rise to what they call the Protestant movement. So you can see God is always, you know, stirring things, you know. That move went a long way. You can add 400 years on top of it, and we are in 1900. And then, of course, we know about Azusa Street, Pentecost. Some brethren were praying, not satisfied with their experience of being born again. We were praying and seeking God, and then something else began to happen again. The experience of Pentecost came back, and there was a great outpouring of the Spirit all over the world. It started from Azusa Street, and out of Azusa Street came about four major Pentecostal streams: the Apostolic Faith, the Four Square Church. I think I don't know if Assembly of God was from there, but there were about four different church streams that came out of that movement that became the mainstream of the Pentecostal experience that we know today. There have been different revivals along the line to, you know, to kind of strengthen it. In Nigeria, the Apostolic Faith seems to be more foundational. A man called S.G. Elton, some of you may know, we'll call him Pi Elton. He came as part of that Apostolic Faith thing. He came to Elisha and began to minister. Most of the older Pentecostal ministers were all his children, those who start at his feet: Edahosa, Oyedepo, Kumuyi, Adeboye. This goes on and on. Those were people who came out of Elton's ministry. Some of us who were later day entrants, you know. In the midst of all that, Elton also was ministering the word of the kingdom in universities, particularly in the University of Ife. There were a few brethren who would go to his house for Bible study. Brother Hubert, Fred Adegoke, most of the other brethren that you know, Brother Hope, and so on. And then, you know, so there was that understanding that beyond the Pentecostal thing, there was another experience, and that is the experience of tabernacles. Now I've gone that way, just a little history, to show that there has been a burden in God's heart for the people of God to go beyond Pentecost, to go beyond the Pentecostal experience. And a few years ago, I would say essentially around the 80s, there was again another revival, and that swept many of us out of where we were to the various experiences and expressions that we have today. But that burden is a burden of coming to the fullness, coming to the reality that's been in God's hands. So you can see right from Acts chapter 2, it's been coming on and on. And there's a burden in God's heart, you know, and that burden is the burden of Christ. as we were saying yesterday, we saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that it gives us a pattern, it gives us an order. You know, it says in verse 2 that the head of the man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You know, so and we know that Christ is a many-membered body, head and body, you know, together. You know, and the plan of God all over is to bring a body unto Himself, to form a people, you know, choose a people unto Himself. You know, and that forms the basis of Passover, the experience of Passover. We want to go back again to that experience, because if our experience of Passover is not real, we cannot come into the real experience of Pentecost. The experience of Pentecost is not speaking in tongues. It's much more than that. It has been reduced to just speaking in tongues, but it's a much more deeper experience. And you can imagine that the experience of Passover is also deeper than just saying, I am saved, or I am born again. It's much more than that. And then, if that be the case, you can imagine what tabernacles will mean. You know, in Exodus 25 verse 8, he said, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst my people. When we talk about Christ, we are speaking about a dwelling. God wants to dwell in His people. We were looking at what does Christ mean yesterday, and you know, we said, you know, the scripture tells us that the basic understanding, the basic meaning of Christ means to be rubbed with oil. You know, God in man. That means the oil represents the nature of God, the life of God, you know, all that goes with it. So bringing God into man, into earth, you know, divinity in humanity, if you want the big language, if you want to make it small, you are saying God coming into man. And man is three dimensions. I know many of us Christian people, we like to make things very simple. You know, but if I make things very simple, it doesn't make it simple, because life is complicated, and the problems coming to us are complicated problems. You know, the darkness is getting complicated, so we must raise our game. We must change our operation. When you are fighting with cancer, it's no longer English language. You know, you are dealing with very bad spirits, devil. I call them very wicked, bad spirits that have been released. So we must change our operation. We must understand what we are coming against. And that's why we are talking about all this grammar. Because it starts to come down to everyday life, everyday overcoming. You know, Paul was praying for the people. He said he was praying that they might be strengthened with might in the inner man. We as a people, we have been not too concerned about the inward man. We were saying that on Friday. As you sit down on your chair, there is an inward man in you. Amen. So if all your experience is just that you have eaten breakfast this morning, you ate this, you ate that, you ate that, you ate that. Bible says food for the belly. The belly for food. It doesn't scratch anything. Nothing has happened. You know, so we start business when we go inside. You know, so we as the people of God must go inside. We must go down to where the business is. Why are we not overcoming? Why are we bound? Why are we defeated? Why are we discouraged? Why is sickness and cancer and, you know, why are those things? Why is darkness increasing in the church? You know, and it's increasing because we are not moving forward. We are married to the earth. So God has to send tribulation to uproot us from the earth so that we can become a heavenly people that we are supposed to be. Amen. So tribulation is not being negotiated. What we are negotiating is our preparation, our preparedness for tribulation. So trouble is coming. Trouble is coming, is coming, is coming. When Obama and his people legalized gay marriage, I told the brethren, I said, we have entered. I said, we have now entered properly. Before, we were just playing around. So now we have entered properly. We are now in real trouble. Amen.
Amen.
So everybody has to put on his spike shoes and get ready to run, because trouble is coming on the earth. Right now, people are packing from Kaduna and Kano. 3 weeks ago, you wouldn't have known it's going to happen. Do you know what is going to happen in 2 months' time? Do you know? Okay, so in 2011, a prophet, so one prophetic vessel, he was preaching somewhere, and in the middle of the message, he stopped. He said, "I see blood in Nigeria. I see war in Nigeria." Amen. So I just want you to know that that came many years ago. All right. Of course, we'll pray. We don't want the war. We don't want this. We don't want that. Praise God. But God will do what He will do. God wants the people. He wants a body of Christ. He wants the people come out. The people, and that's why He called us. We began a journey. That's the whole story of Passover. Passover is a journey. A journey out of Egypt. A journey to the promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's a journey. So if you look at Passover, one of the major symbols of that Passover is that the man must hold the staff. So it says, when you are eating the Passover meal, what do? You eat it with your staff. You get their loins. The loins speak of the mind. So I hope we can get into the mind today. So it says you get the mind, you get the loins, you have your staff, and then you have your shoes well fitted, and then you are eating the lamb. The lamb is Christ. We are feeding on Christ. Amen. It says a lamb for a household. And we say yesterday, the household is this man. The household is not a wife and husband. Everybody for himself. They're not going to share the oil. You know, so the days of children depending on their father is going to be very soon. It's going to be over very soon, because the children have to answer for themselves. Amen. Okay, because the devils that disturb the older people are the same devils that disturb the younger people. Amen. Say amen. Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so we're talking about Passover, and then as the man is eating, the Bible says he must eat the food with bitter herbs. Amen. He eats bitter herbs. You know, so there is a meal to eat, and there is a dressing. That means the dressing means a mentality. That's, there must be a new, there's a mentality, a mindset that you know we must have. Amen. The man is ready to go out of Egypt. And he's going out of Egypt in a hurry. And he's going out where at midnight. Hallelujah. And you know, so blood is in it, because it says over his house, you know, he has to put blood, you know, over it. You know, so there are so many symbols, so many things that are there that we need to that we're going to look at quickly. So I'm going to clean the board, and then we will try to address it quickly. The different aspects of Passover. What is it entailed? Now, the first part of Passover has to do with the location. So it is a journey from Egypt to Cana. So Egypt represents the world. Egypt represents the world. Canaan represents the promised land. Alright. Now, the person making the journey, the person making the journey is you. You know, so it's you. Mind is making the journey. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, when God created when God made man, the man was not in Egypt. The man was in a garden. The man was in a city. By the way, when you become born again, you come into the city of refuge. You come into a city. Amen. Because the principles, the Bible says that you have to make cities of refuge where, you know, the person who is being pursued by the avenger of blood runs into a strong city. Okay, he has to go there. We can't talk much about it, but God put Adam in a city, and God always puts you in a city. He puts you in a secure place. So Adam was in a secure environment, but you see, Adam went into darkness. Adam went into darkness. Remember yesterday we talked about the soul. God made the soul a living soul. There was no darkness in the soul. But the soul was in a lower, I don't know the one that you would like. Would I say realm or frequency or city? I don't know which one you like. So please, choose anyone that is good for you. But the living soul was in a, is for me, I take it like a,